Psalms 90, verse 13, through Psalms 92, verse 5. Return, O Yahweh, how long? O be sorry for your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your loving commitment.
Welcome to His Word Heals. You can also visit us online at www.hiswordheals.com for all of our past programs, a healing scripture CD, books, and more. Today's program is part two of a two-part series, a two-part program, which is As It Was in the Days of Noah, Hear What the Spirit Says to the Seven Churches. You can go to our website again at www.hiswordheals.com and listen to the entire message on our blog page. So then Shem, or Philadelphia, or the Church of Brotherly Love, his wife, or paired up church, would be the Church of Ephesus. Revelation 2, 1 through 5. And unto the church of Ephesus write, These things says he that holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, I know your works and your labor and your patience, and how you cannot bear them which are evil, and how you have tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have borne and have patience, and for my name's sake have labored and have not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you, because you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto you quickly and will remove your candlestick out of its place, except you repent. Philadelphia has brotherly love, while its paired church is rebuked for leaving its first love. But neither one of them are rebuked for not having good works or for having bad doctrine, as we'll see the last four churches do. Now on to Japheth. Shem and Japheth were blessed because they covered their father's nakedness, while Ham was cursed for uncovering it. Shem was the most blessed with the lines of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Yeshua coming through Shem. Japheth was the second blessed, while Ham would be the cursed assemblies. So let's compare Japheth to the church of Pergamum. Revelation 2, verses 12 through 17. And to the angel of the church of Pergamus, or Pergamum, write, These things says he which has the sharp sword with two edges. I know your works, and where you dwell, even where Satan's seat is, and you hold fast to my name, and have not denied my faith. Even in those days wherein Antipas, my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you, because you have there those that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit fornication. You also have them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come to you quickly, and I will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him that overcomes, I will give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knows except him that receives it. Nothing bad is said about the works of Pergamum, but that they hold fast to his name and faith even unto death. However, notice the wife of Shem, the paired church with Philadelphia, the church of Ephesus, hated the works of the Nicolaitans, while Japheth's assembly has some that hold to the doctrine of the Nicolaitans and the doctrine of Balaam. They are told to repent, or Yeshua will come quickly and fight against them with the sword of his mouth. Then Japheth's wife, representing Pergamum's paired church, would be Thyatira. Thyatira, Revelation 2, 18 through 26. And unto the angel of the church of Thyatira write, These things says the son of Elohim, who has his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, and charity, and service, and faith, and patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against you, because you sufferest or allow that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and hearts, and will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest of Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you no other burden. But that which you have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Like Japheth, the congregation of Pergamum, his wife church, Thyatira, her works are good, but they allow the false prophetess, Jezebel, to seduce the members to commit fornication. Yet while they have good works, such as faith, love, charity, and service, this husband and wife team, Pergamum and Thyatira, have some that hold to the doctrines of Balaam, the Nicolaitans, and Jezebel, the false prophetess. Reprimanded for their false doctrines and false teachings and fornication, yet commended for their works of love, charity, faith, and service, they are warned to hold fast to what they do have that is good, and overcome and keep these works until the end, and they will be given power over the nations. Okay, now for the last two churches of Revelation, Ham and his wife. Ham would be representative of the Church of Laodicea, also known as the Lukewarm Church, but still has a chance to repent. Revelation 3:14-21. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of Elohim. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and know not that thou art wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich, and white raiment, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness does not appear, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Nothing good is said about the lukewarm church's works, only that they are about to be spewed out of Yahweh's mouth, and that whoever Yeshua loves, he chastens, and that they need to repent when chastened and open the door when he knocks. They are poor, blind, and naked, but still have a chance to repent and overcome. Then lastly, Ham's wife, Laodicea's paired church of Sardis, is also known as the Dead Church. Revelation 3:1-5. And unto the angel of the church of Sardis write, These things says he that has the seven spirits of Elohim and the seven stars. I know your works, that thou hast a name that you live, but are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before Elohim. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If, therefore, thou shalt not watch, I will come to thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Similarly to the church of Laodicea, nothing really good is said about the works of the church of Sardis, only that they have not been found perfect and are ready to die, while the works of Laodicea are lukewarm, also almost dead. This Hamite husband-wife team have lukewarm to dead works. Sardis is told they are dead, even though they have a name that says they live. They have a few names which have not defiled their garments, which will walk with Yeshua in white. They are told to be watchful and strengthen the things that remain before they die completely. They need to repent so that their names are not blotted out of the book of life completely. Remember these warnings of being spewed, as in the church of Laodicea, or blotted out, as in the church of Sardis, are being made to assemblies of believers. Those who believe they have eternal salvation through their religion or what they call faith, yet they are at high risk of being blotted out or spewed out of the book of life completely. Doesn't this contradict the false teaching of once saved, always saved? As with Sardis, they may call themselves Christians as though they are alive in Jesus or Yeshua, but are actually dead and or ready to die because they have lukewarm to dead or non-existent works. Consider Romans 11, where we are told that the natural branches who are cut off because of unbelief can be grafted back into the olive tree of Israel, whereas the Gentiles are also grafted into the olive tree of Israel. Romans 11:20 is a warning. Well, because of unbelief, they, the Jews, the unbelieving Jews, unbelieving Israelite, were broken off, and you, the Gentiles, stand by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear, for if Elohim spared not the natural branches, the Jews or the natural Israelites, take heed lest he also spare not thee, the Gentiles. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of Elohim, on them which fell, severity, but toward you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. Back to the warning of this lukewarm or dead church, to those with lukewarm or dead works, the warning is that he will come as a thief to them, and they will have no time to repent later, so they better repent now and strengthen what is left of their faith by doing good works based upon that faith in Yeshua Messiah. Here's a few more witnesses to this from Scripture. James 2, verses 14 through 26. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and has not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says unto him, Depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you gave them nothing of those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one Elohim, and you do well. The devils also believe and tremble. But will you know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? See thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed Elohim, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of Elohim. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead. Paul himself says in Romans chapter 3, verses 23 through 31, For all have sinned and come short of the glory of Elohim, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is Yeshua Messiah, whom Elohim has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of Elohim, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believes in Yeshua. Where is the boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the Elohim of the Jews only, or is he also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one Elohim which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Elohim forbid. Yea, we establish the law. So we are not saved by works of the law, but by faith only. Faith in him means faith not only in what he did on the cross, but also what he said in his word, which include his laws, instructions, and judgments that are meant to teach us what is acceptable behavior for his people in his kingdom. So what Paul is saying, if we truly have and live by faith, we will establish that the law is good for instruction in how we should live. We have faith that Yahweh knows best, and his words are good for life to his people. Romans chapter 9, verses 30 through 33. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone, of course, which is Yeshua. As it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. Does Paul in chapter 9 of Romans contradict what Paul in chapter 3 of Romans said? No, Paul is saying the Gentiles who realized they could not attain righteousness just through keeping the law, but that true righteousness and forgiveness can only come from Yahweh through Yeshua Messiah because he said so. So through faith in this gift of salvation and forgiveness of sin, the Gentiles obtained righteousness, while those Jews who rejected Yahweh's salvation, even up through Yeshua, thought they didn't need Yeshua because they were so diligently and perfectly, in their eyes, keeping the letter of his law and trusted in that, in their own, imperfect in the eyes of Yahweh, efforts. The thing about trying to keep the letter of the law is that there is no mercy in the letter of the law. In the letter of the law, sin or transgressing that law at all means death. So naturally, those that attempted to keep the letter of the law also tried to find legal ways around what they didn't want to keep or what they couldn't keep. All our fleshly efforts to keep the letter of the law will ultimately fail. Our works will be found wanting. Therefore, Yeshua Messiah is the only true salvation. Galatians chapter 2, verses 15 through 21. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by the faith of Yeshua Messiah, even we have believed in Yeshua Messiah, that we might be justified by faith of Messiah and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Messiah, we ourselves are also found sinners, is therefore Messiah the minister of sin? Elohim forbid! For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto Elohim. I am crucified with Messiah, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Messiah lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of Elohim, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of Elohim, for if righteousness comes by the law, then Messiah is dead in vain. Believing that we can be perfect without his mercy and forgiveness is the ultimate chutzpah, or pride, and Yahweh hates a prideful attitude. Through faith, we are dead to the law, meaning the law no longer condemns us if we live by faith. Faith that all that he said in the law is good, a good basis or foundation for how we should strive to live our lives in general, but also faith that if we transgress the law on occasion in order to fulfill the works he has assigned to us, then we are not condemned because we have a Savior and we are walking in the faith of our salvation through him. An example that Yeshua gave of this is, of course, that King David and his men ate the showbread when they were hungry. That was by law only to be eaten by the priests. David broke the law, but this was in the course of fulfilling his calling by Yahweh. He was walking in the Spirit and faith to fulfill the purpose he was called to by Yahweh. Since he got away with this, do you think David, even when he finally sat on the throne, continued to eat the bread that was only for the priests? Of course not. If he had, that would have been sin because there was no need or purpose for him to do so. He would have only been doing it out of rebellion or pride had he continued to eat the showbread of the priests. Yahweh knows our hearts. The law is only a guide to help us understand how to love him and how to treat each other. If we follow the letter of the law but hate him, his Messiah, and our brothers and sisters, then our efforts to follow the law, even if we could do it perfectly, are worthless and cannot save us. The efforts of men, the Jews, the Israelites, to keep the law perfectly without mercy ultimately led to traditions or practices of men that nullified the word and mercy of Yahweh, as Yeshua pointed out in Matthew chapter 15, verses 3 through 9. But he answered and said unto them, Why do you also transgress the commandment of Elohim by your tradition? For Elohim commanded, saying, Honor your mother and father, and he that curses father or mother, let him die with the death. But you say, Whosoever shall say to his father or mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou might be profited by me, and honor not his father and mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of Elohim of none effect by your tradition, you hypocrites. Well did Elijah prophesy of you, saying, This people draws nigh unto me with their mouth, and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Then Yeshua also summed this entire message of the law versus faith this way. When they asked, Master, which is the great commandment of the law? And Yeshua said unto them, Thou shalt love Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first great commandment. And the second is like it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. In other words, the goal of his law and the prophets, all of his word, is love. His word explains what love truly is. The world, especially today, is perverting the definition of what love is because we have thrown out his law. We do not truly have faith in him if we do not also believe his words and do our best to live by them while also realizing the letter of the law cannot save us without his mercy, his salvation, his Yeshua, and then we likewise need to have mercy toward each other. In summary, we've seen that Noah, his wife, their three sons and their wives, eight people, were kept safely together upon the ark when the floodwaters came and overflowed the earth entirely. These eight can be a picture of Yeshua and the seven assemblies of Revelation. Noah, a picture of Yeshua. Yeshua was faithful unto death, so likewise the wife of Noah, Yeshua, could be the church of Smyrna, who is told they will be persecuted, and it is even suggested this persecution will come from those who say they are Jews but are not. Then they are told to be faithful through this persecution even unto death. That's two, Yeshua and the church of Smyrna. Then Shem and his wife, represented by the assemblies or churches of Philadelphia and Ephesus. Philadelphia, represented by Shem, is the church of brotherly love. Again, please listen to our messages about the seven churches for an explanation regarding Philadelphia being brotherly love. Shem is the son of Noah, who all of the patriarchs and Yeshua descended from. Nothing bad is said about the church of Philadelphia, whereas the only bad thing about the church of Ephesus is that they had left their first love. This is the only thing they are admonished to repent of. Next, we have Japheth and his wife, represented by the assemblies of Pergamum and Thyatira, which both have the good works of faith, love, charity, and service, but they both have a whole lot of false doctrines and false teachings which lead to fornication, paganism, and sexual immorality. Lastly, Ham and his wife. Ham's son, Canaan, his line was cursed by Noah because Ham looked upon his father's nakedness rather than covering it. His works were bad. He did not love his father enough to cover him, but instead made fun of and disrespected Noah. Ham and his wife are representative of the assemblies of Laodicea and Sardis. Their works were not found to be good. They were lukewarm at best to dead. No love, no faith, and this was reflected by no good works. And were warned to repent and strengthen what little they had left, or they would be spewed out of Yahweh's mouth, or their names would be blotted out of the book of life. We will close today's message with the closing message from Yeshua to every one of the churches of Revelation. He who has an ear, hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen and amen. Blessings and shalom to all of you and everyone in your home.